All right, that's enough of that. I'm afraid the Eagles might sue us. We play too much of that song. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the War Room. We got a Thursday night edition for you. It's been a while, but it's been a very busy, busy, busy time of the year for us, and it's not going to get any fucking, you know, more relaxed, I guess I would say. You know, and also that intro went on a little longer than we meant for it. Trevor was over there fucking dying. I just started feeling the couch, like I started like jumping up and down, like I was like someone was jumping on the couch, and he's over there trying to hold it together. It's like a truck trying to start that won't.
A cold start diesel.
But back in studio, we got Trevor in the house tonight. You know, we're deep into the NBA playoffs. I don't know how we don't talk NBA playoffs here right at the top. Fucking the Celtics, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, the team that won it last year is going to win it again. And it's also really easy to say that when it's your favorite team. But I just truly believed, and I know I'm talking like it's over. It's not. We're down 3-2. But I mean, I just, even if we were to win this fucking series against this bullshit team, which I can't stand the Knicks. And you know what's funny? I don't ever usually pay them any mind. But the last times I remember playing them in the playoffs when Carmelo Anthony was there, they fucking beat us. I think they beat us in 5. I think that was Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett's last year.
And Amari Stoudemire. And
Jason Kidd and fucking, I think, Pablo Prigioni, yeah. That Argentinian 35-year-old rookie. That guy should have been banned. I don't like that. Oh, because they're from overseas, they're allowed to come over here and pick on our young American athletes. I think it's a shame. I don't know. You know, it's funny. I was watching the Celtics game last night, and Luke Kornet, I thought that guy was from fucking Europe or something. He's just some white American guy.
White dude.
And he's been in the league for almost 10 years, so it's not like he's some... It's funny. I heard someone be like, it's not like he's some European guy that came off the bench. It's like, oh, is this a guy that's going to be a star in the future? No. But... It was nice to see some heart from him. I'll tell you what, though. The white guys on the Celtics, they got some of the worst haircuts. They're some of the ugliest fucking dudes there are. Like, they would have fit in right with the 80s Celtics teams. Like, they make Larry Bird look like a handsome guy in a small town. Like, dude, do you think Larry Bird was, like, getting laid and shit?
Well, I'm sure he was just because of who he was, but I mean, not
I feel like he was
like...
probably married at 16, and he wouldn't cheat on his wife.
I could see that.
I don't know. I wonder because, like, it's not like basketball players then were like celebrities how they are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, there was Magic Johnson got AIDS, for God's sake. That guy was fucking. But, you know, I'm sure Jordan, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like to say people cheated on their wives. But if you told me Michael Jordan cheated on his wife a few times, I'd probably believe you. I mean, you can't trust those degenerate gamblers, you know. You can trust them if the game's on the line and you want to win. So that's why you kind of give them a pass on all that other stuff. But I don't know. I just like, but Jordan's a good-looking guy. Magic's a great-looking guy. Fucking Wilt Chamberlain was a good-looking dude, and he was 7'3".
He's also tall as shit, so they're all like, ah.
Yeah, but, you know, Larry Bird. Like, I went to school with a lot of guys like him, and you never saw them outside the Ag Barn. It's like they were held prisoner there. Like, he literally just looks like a guy that you'd see driving a pickup truck with a red flannel.
Yeah, drove a fucking Ford F-150 single cab to his fucking game.
Yeah, man. That dude wasn't getting laid. That guy, I wish we could have him on the podcast. That'd be great.
Yeah, so do I.
We could fucking ask him, like, dude, come on. Like, well, you know, everyone is always like, oh, Magic and you, blah, blah. No, no, no.
Yeah, we don't care about
everyone
that.
Everyone knows he was going to the Playboy Mansion. What were you doing? Like, come on. Let's be honest here. I want to know because, you know, I can imagine some other guy. Because, dude, the dudes in the 80s, I don't know what it is. Like, there's some ugly guys in the NBA right now. But I would say overall, as a majority, it's probably a better-looking league than it was then.
Oh, yeah.
A lot less mustaches. You know what I mean? Like, so many dudes in the 80s had those fucking gay Freddie Mercury
high
mustaches.
Shorts, hairy legs.
See, I actually like
Kevin
the high
McHale.
Shorts.
Fucking
see, Kevin McHale, ugly dude.
Yeah, like
Dennis Johnson was an ugly dude. Robert Parrish, I don't think he was ugly, but I mean, he's kind of like Chief from fucking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like, I don't imagine he said very much. Like, dude, honestly, that Celtics starting five might be one of the ugliest fucking teams ever. Like, you got Dennis Johnson. If you've never seen what Dennis Johnson looks like, go look up a picture of him. Danny Ainge, who's arguably the best-looking guy in the lineup, and he's not even that. He's just, like, he's just some white-looking Mormon dude, which I'm pretty sure he is Mormon. He's from Utah, I think. Larry Bird looks like a drunk guy at a NASCAR race. He's got a rebel flag in his fucking garage. Kevin McHale, ugly as shit. Robert Parrish, again, not ugly, but I mean, I don't know. Pull up a picture of Robert Parrish. I want you to.
Robert Parrish.
Yeah, what do you think? Would you say he's an ugly guy? Because I don't know. I mean, he was 7 foot tall, so that's got to add some points. You know what I'm saying? That's the sound of the device that we have looking up the information we
see. I mean, yeah. He's not very... He's got a big-ass fucking nose for his already big body.
Well, like, look at him. He's not ugly.
No, but there's some in there. Like, that one where he's in the jacket.
He's Jesus. Old.
I know, but...
Why don't you look at, like... Yeah, he's old. He's 75 years old right there.
He looks like Greg... He's a Greg...
Look at young Robert Parrish.
Greg Oden's grandpa, too. He looks like...
That's a good-looking dude right there. You know what? I'm going to say Robert Parrish was the best-looking guy in the Celtics lineup. God, the guy played for so long, too. It's so crazy. Like, he... I think he got fucking...
He's married to a girl who was born in 1990. Is that true?
I mean, he's 71, so what, that makes him fucking 37 years older? I mean, yeah, go for it, I guess. I mean, that's fine.
That might be, I might have just spread a false Luke rumor there, who knows? Who knows? Also, we don't own the rights to that song, so don't cancel us.
Oh my God, you know, I don't know, that looks like it's a whole fucking rabbit hole. I'm sorry, Robert. A Robert hole. That's a real rabbit hole right there. Dude, this guy was drafted
in... It's a rabbit hole there.
This guy was drafted in 76, and he didn't fucking retire until 97. That's a warrior right there.
Especially back then. They were getting their ass kicked. They were kicking each other's asses.
And he played on that team with Jordan, I'm pretty sure. He was on the 96-97 team. He averaged 3 points, almost four. 2 rebounds, half an assist, and he was shooting 49%. I mean, that's a hell of a dude to come off the fucking bench right there.
49%? Was he taking fucking 2-3 shots a game?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It. Literally,
so
like...
that means he was making 2 out of 4 shots every day at the game. He's probably taking 4. Good for him. Yeah, but look at the other fucking dudes. The Celtics, unfortunately,
Kevin
I think
McHale's
we're just,
an ugly motherfucker.
We're arguably just the ugliest. Like, thank God for these young guys that we got now. Because we're just one of the ugliest fucking teams ever, dude. Like, the Lakers had all these handsome guys, all these lady killers, all these fucking dudes getting their dick sucked in a Cadillac on fucking Los Angeles Boulevard or whatever. And then in Boston, you know, Bill Russell wins 8 straight championships and, you know, he fucking gets called the N-word when he tries to go in a restaurant right after the game. That's what he was dealing with. And also, go look at that 60s Celtics team. Bill Russell, I don't think he was an ugly guy, but everybody, Bob Cousy... disgusting. Sam and Casey Jones, you know, I don't know, that was not the best looking team ever. And then dude, even Paul Pierce and Garnett,
I mean, Ray Allen, just I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, I guess he's not the ugliest dude just, ever. Rondo looked like an alien.
Rondo, dude, his fucking hands.
Kendrick Perkins,
insane.
Yeah, dude, we've never been a
Scalabrini fucking
you if you weigh 300 pounds and we're 6'7". Yeah. I just think everybody with red hair is you. Like, every time I see Eric Rowan or fucking,
Sami Zayn.
That one dude that's on Kill Tony, fucking
oh,
William
fucking
Montgomery.
Oh, fucking William Montgomery is fucking funny.
Yeah,
what
that
the
dude.
Fuck, man? Why the fuck would you do that?
I can't believe you would even actually say something like that to me right now, you fucking piece
fuck
of
you,
fucking
red
shit.
Band. Fuck you, Red Band.
Red Band's mom was over last night. Jeez. And then Red Band will be like, yeah, well, your fucking grandma sucked my dick. And he's like, I can't even believe you would say that, man. My fucking grandma died when I was fucking four. You fucking asshole.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Fucking.
He's unbeaten.
I think
I think he comes to the fucking
Tulsa Bricktown. Yeah, Comedy Club.
I would go see him. Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be
the Dr. Phil guy I would like to see too.
Adam Ray.
Dude, the Dr. Phil guy. Because every time he does a Dr. Phil, it's just hilarious. Like.
He does do a good Dr. Phil. That and the guy that came on Dr. Phil dressed as Dr. Phil from Hobo Fights or Bum Fights or whatever it was called. And he immediately got kicked off the show. It's one of the greatest fucking things ever. Dr. Phil. He's not even a doctor. You know how fucking played out that trope is. He's not even a doctor. Yeah, obviously.
The fact that one chick got on there and is now making millions of dollars and she's a fucking rap artist is just insane.
Well, let's just be honest. Now that she's of age, I feel like I can say this without sounding weird. A lot of fucking weirdos just wanted to see her tits and her ass and her naked. They didn't. Nobody cares about what she has to say. Nobody cares about her shitty music. Everybody, like, literally the fact that she made an OnlyFans and, like, as soon as she turned 18 and she made, like, what, $3 million in a day? That just goes to show you that it's a bunch of fucking creepy
weirdos,
guys
yeah.
that don't hear women when they talk. They just, like, just stare at their tits the whole time.
How is a normal guy can you be like, oh, I can't wait for that chick to have an. To be 18, like that's
I know
fucking
a lot of guys
weird.
Like that.
That's fucking weird.
Well, that's what happens when you play on your on a. That's what happens when you get a PC. I think you get a PC and you become like an Android, and then it's like you know. That's what it is. You know, you jerk off in the chair. You play video games in the chair. You you know
you
do all
the
these
chair.
Things.
You eat in the chair. You sleep
you become,
in the chair.
You become part of the chair. So you're not getting women. You're not going out. To social events and meeting women and bringing them home and, you know, meeting the love of your life. You're fucking.
No, you're behind the screen. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're trying to find naked pictures.
You're the
of
one
celebrities.
Who's adding to people selling feet pics. Like, you just, what a loser. If you buy pictures of feet, you're
all
honestly,
the things
if you buy
to spend money
in general,
on.
I think you're kind of a loser.
I mean, yeah. I'm
from a chick that you don't know. You know what I mean? Like you can get it for free. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
also paying for a picture. That's just like, come on. You're going to pay for a picture. Pictures don't do nothing
yeah.
for nobody.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I can't imagine trying to fucking crank one out in the 20s.
Or getting like bathwater. Like, imagine like, oh, bathwater arrived today. Like fucking. Just,
I don't know if
like,
I
are
I
you
would.
Just sitting there fucking and just like touching the, like, how does that.
Now that
drink
I'm
it?
Thinking about it, I don't know if. I would have done a lot of that then because it's just like the bathing situation's terrible. And if you do that too much without taking a shower or without fucking washing, you know what I'm saying? That's not going to be good. It's going to form a layer. It's going to fucking, you're going to have to peel it back like a snake. You can't have that.
That's, yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah, I would say.
It's fucked up. Speaking of the NBA,
let's move on to the second.
I don't know how, but I mean, like, talk about on the cusp of like never wanting to watch basketball again. Like, it was like whenever I saw my phone, because I wasn't even paying attention to the fucking draft lottery. Nobody gives a shit about it.
Oh,
like,
I forgot about that.
Like,
yeah.
We don't even have a shot. And then I look at it and I'm like, we won the fucking lottery. I was like, this can't be right. And I looked at it and I was like, no way. We won the fucking draft. I was like, you Nico Harris, you lucky motherfucker. You should literally be fired. And you got lucky. You literally, he should be like, as soon as that happened, just fucking
I saw someone
off.
Say that they should fire him, like, after they draft him, number one, immediately after fire him, so he doesn't get any credit for it. Which I don't think he should get credit for it. It was
no.
chance. It
no,
was
he-
complete chance. And let's just be, so I was going to ask you, so if... Would you rather you draft Cooper Flagg or trade the pick for something else?
I think we should draft him. I think he's going to be good for a long period of time. The only one that I would entertain is Giannis. That's the only one that I would be like.
You're going to match up Giannis with Anthony Davis? You need a shooter. You need a guy, a bucket getter.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you had Kyrie and Giannis and...
Kyrie's going to be out most of next year.
He'll probably be back for the playoffs.
I think y'all need Kevin Durant. Somebody like that.
I wouldn't trade Cooper for him just because I don't know what I'm getting with Kevin Durant sometimes. You know what I mean? And I don't want to...
Oh, but that's
one of those
not
guys.
True.
But sometimes he's out for 10 fucking games. Sometimes
he's usually pretty durable. I know what you mean, but dude, but here's the thing. Whenever you're in the playoffs and you need 20 points, he's going to give you 25. I mean, automatically.
I think out of principle, we should draft him because we just let a guy go that we arguably should have not let go. And this is like, all right, this is your chance to redo what you did. And like, it doesn't ever happen like that. So we should feel lucky and we should take it. And if we go down and get fucked because he sucks, we'll live with it. But I don't think he's gonna. And
Giannis, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, I mean, that's a pretty good fucking team. But you're gonna lose other guys if you trade that pick, because if you trade for Giannis, you're gonna be giving up more than just the pick. You're gonna be giving up some players.
Which is kinda crazy, because like, what if he says I wanna leave anyway? Like, so you're gonna get screwed. So are you gonna just
I think he's going to San Antonio.
I think that would be a good move too, obviously.
I think he would fit in perfectly there. He's an international player. International players have thrived in San Antonio. Him and Wimby would be, I mean,
and then somebody
the
I mean,
best they, defensive fucking
they can get somebody else to go there too as well.
I mean, they also have De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, they had two guys win Rookie of the Year back to back. I can't remember the other guy's name, but his last name's Castle or something. Or Shaw, I don't fucking know. But all I know is that the Spurs, they're setting themselves up good, and they've got a lot of stuff to work, like play with trade collateral. They got some solid players on there, but I think Giannis, Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, and Chris Paul stays another year. Woo-hoo-hoo.
What if
that'd be a good team?
What if? I mean, speaking of a team that's got a lot to give away, the Thunder. If they traded for Giannis to have that fucking veteran, I mean, they would be pretty fucking good if they had him to have that, you know, he's been there, he's done that.
Personally, if I'm the Thunder, if we lose this series or we lose before getting to the championship, I'm getting Kevin Durant back. I'm letting him come back and finish his career there because I think he is exactly what this team needs. Veteran bucket getter. That's what they need, reliable scoring. And he's also, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Oh, I don't think the Thunder would. Shut up. Cleveland burned LeBron's jersey and told him to go fuck himself. Yeah. As soon as he said he was coming back, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. If Kevin Durant, if the Thunder fail this year and everyone's all depressed and shit, and it's announced Kevin Durant coming back to the Thunder, that'll be the jolt that the city needs. And I do think it would push him over the hump. I think Durant on this team, minus, like, you're going to have to give up some shit, or you just give some of those picks that you got. I mean, you got six or seven of them.
It would be perfect for them.
I guarantee you said three future first-round picks to the Phoenix Suns for Durant.
Oh, yeah, and they could easily do that. I mean, they have.
Yeah, and they'd still have plenty.
Yeah.
So I just think I would like to see Durant with the Thunder. The only reason I wouldn't see that happening is if the Thunder win the championship. I don't think they're going to. I just think that they're going to have to. I mean, you got to take licks. I watched the Celtics get closer and closer and closer and closer. We finally made a championship, and then the Warriors just, you know, in seven games showed us, you know, how it's done in those moments. And then we finally, you know, get over the hump. And I just, with this Thunder team, they're so young. Like, if they end up winning, they'd be the youngest team to ever win the championship. Like,
yeah,
I don't even think they have a 30-year-old on their roster. So I just think that would be perfect. Durant's 36. He's got 3-4 really good years left in him, I would assume. Definitely two. And I just think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool to see him end with the, you know, city he started with. And if he was able to win them a championship, he'd be the biggest hero in Oklahoma City history.
I mean, yeah. And here's the thing is he wouldn't have to play all the games. Like, we just want you to be healthy for the playoffs because that's what we need. We can get there. We can win the fucking number one seed. They've done it 2 years in a row.
And they also don't need him to be the guy.
No, they just need him to be.
That's where I think he thrives in, though. If they just have him salt and pepper in 20
to 28
points. Yeah,
because he's not a leader. Kevin Durant's not a leader. He's just not the guy he is. He's not the guy who's going to be like, this is my team. He wants to be the quiet guy.
Well, that's why I think it'd be perfect. It can still be Shea's team. And Durant's just going to, you know, like I said, he's just going to elevate the team's offensive prowess and make them even more dangerous. and also be a older voice in the locker room that's been there and done mm-hmm. that. He's a two-time champion. So, and he's played in three of them, including one with the Thunder. So I think that that's the move. I see the Mavericks. I don't know. I think you draft Cooper Flagg. That's what I would do, just because I don't really see a trade partner worth giving up that pick. Giannis is worth it. I just, for the fit, you already got Anthony Davis. I don't think adding Giannis does improve you in, like, defensively and everything. I think y'all need a fucking scorer. Y'all got Gafford. You got Derek Lively. You've got fucking Clay. You might end up losing Clay if you end up doing trades and shit, which I don't know how you'd feel about that. I mean, he's all right. He's definitely not what he used to
be. I think that he's good in a better situation. Like, he can't be the guy to get a jump start, but whenever everybody else is going, and then you're like, oh, you forget about it, Clay Thompson, he can put up 25 to 30 on you any night. So I still like having him. But with Lively, I mean, if they were just to put Flag small forward, and then if they could either put Davis at power forward, put Lively at center, and then hopefully we get Kyrie back around January. Just as long as we get him with like 20 games, that'd be nice. 20 games to go, we get him back healthy, ready to go, get in a groove. I mean, I think we can be a dangerous team. We got to take that pick. We fucked ourselves. We didn't. We just, a dumb mistake where I think even he knows that he fucked up. Like, I can't believe we traded him. Like, so you've got a chance to right your fucking wrong. So I would be, if what the worst situation is, he trades the pick, whoever we get tears their fucking ACL game one, and it's an older player, and they're never able to play again.
Well, here's the thing,
though.
And
then fire him immediately.
I know you don't want to consider this, but it is definitely something you have to consider. Cooper Flagg is the second youngest dude coming in the NCAA. He's the second youngest guy in the entire NCAA. He's young. So yeah.
I don't expect him to be like something great right away.
Well, that's what I'm
right
saying.
Away.
Like, the way I'm looking at it is this Mavericks front office has taken so much heat, and the only thing that's going to get heat off of them is they've got to win a championship. And to me, Cooper Flagg, while I do think is going to develop into a really good, nice player, I don't think that he makes y'all, like, even if you take him, I don't think he makes you an immediate, just because you're going to have to play most of the season without Kyrie. I think he's going to be gone until closer to the playoffs, I thought. He tore his Achilles or his ACL or something.
I can't remember when I said he was going to be. It was like,
I thought he said he wouldn't be back to like April or something. Maybe. I don't know. All I know is that you're gonna play a lot of the season without him, and it's going to be a lot on Cooper Flagg. I'm not saying he can't handle it. I mean, Luka's, but the thing with Luka was he was a pro when he was fucking 14 years old. So, I mean, heat pressure has never really been a big deal to him. I just think it's a lot to ask. I think I definitely could see the Mavericks trading the pick, but it would have to be for a guy that fits in well and makes them an immediate contender. And now you could argue Giannis would, just because he's arguably a top three player in the fucking world. So adding him to any team automatically makes them,
yeah,
you know, a bigger contender. But now that Tatum's Achilles is torn and we're not going to see him at all next year, probably, the Celtics are going to be unloading a lot of guys. Porzingis is probably gone. Cornette's going to be a fucking free agent. We're probably going to lose Drew Holiday. I think the only dudes that are guaranteed to have, like, Tatum will be on the team. Brown, we just signed. Derek White, I think we just signed not long ago. And Al Horford, I mean, he may retire after this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think there's the Celtics, unless we just kind of concede next year, like, you know, I don't know. The season isn't over yet. We're still in it. You know, if we end up, I think if we win game six, we'll win the series. Obviously, if we lose, we lose. We're done. But I think if we go to Madison Square Garden game six and we beat them going home, I don't think there's any way the Knicks come into Boston in game seven and win. I just don't believe it. I still think without Tatum, we're a better team. whenever our offense is working the way it usually does, like our average, they can't hang with us. Their defense isn't good.
No, they give up a lot of points.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. A lot of the shots that we've missed in this series that have cost us these games were wide open. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, if you look at last game and the other in game, I think we won game three. If you look at game three and game five, we hit the shots that we were shooting and we fucking kicked their ass. And every single game, I think that we've been up by 20 at some point. So the fact that the offense just becomes so anemic at times, and I think a lot of it, now I'm not taking a knock at Jason Tatum. Obviously, I think we're better with him. But he's such an ISO-heavy guy, and he obviously has the green light. There was just so many times in those games that we ended up losing where it was like still in the balance. We just go down and immediately shoot a fucking ill-advised three. Mm-hmm. It's way off, and it's just like, oh my God, we don't... Like, there has to be a time, like, I say you let it fly the first three, and then you have to adjust to the style of the game going into the fourth. If it's close, how about we not just shoot nothing but three-pointers and not just be like, whoever's open, let's run offense. Because when we run offense, like how we looked last game, it looked much more of like a fluid team. It didn't just look like a bunch of guys taking their turns. A lot of passing, a lot of getting to the basket. We shot more free throws. I don't know. Even if we go on to beat the fucking Knicks, I don't know if we'll beat the Pacers. I could see it being the Pacers and the Timberwolves in the championship this year, which would be
a crazy
insane. Yeah. There's no way anybody bet on that and, you know, predicted that correctly. But I mean, I got to give the Pacers a lot of credit. They've absolutely handled Pacers, their business. Man. Dude, they played the Bucks and the Cavs and made light work of both teams.
Yeah.
Like, they... It hasn't even really been all that close. I mean, I know they won a couple of close ones, but the Cavs series, I mean, they could have easily swept those fucking guys. So I don't know. The Pacers have this I don't give a fuck attitude, which I think is really good. And their offense is just so consistently automatic. Like, they're going to put 130 up on you. So it's, I just hope that if the Celtics are able to squeak by the Knicks after being down 3-1, which I'm giving us a pretty good chance of doing just because of who we're playing and their history. That would be such a Knicks thing if they went up 3-1 to go to the conference finals. They haven't been in 24 or 5 years, and then they blow a 3-1 lead after having a game 6 to clinch the fucking series at home. Like, that would be the most... It's almost like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be just doing what you kind of expect them to. And now, look, I don't know. The Knicks, I think on paper, very good team. I don't think they're very tough, though, is the thing. And one thing I noticed the first few games is they out-physicaled us, which I didn't think was possible because we're usually a very physical team. And I think this last game was the first time I saw it. And well, you know what it is? It's fucking urgency. But I don't know why you have to be down 3-1
just start doing this
to fucking start playing like your life depends on it. And I think that's the one of the downsides of winning a championship. It takes so much out of you, and you're like, oh, I did it. It's like, all right, well, let's do it again. Yeah. Like, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to do. So, God, I knew whenever I watched that fucking play when Tatum, the way he stepped and fell, I was like, he just fucking popped his Achilles. There's nothing, like, he didn't twist his ankle. He didn't step like on the side of his foot. He didn't get his foot stepped on. He didn't step on someone's foot. Like, he literally lunged forward after he took that step, and I could tell. I was like, oh, my God. Either that or he did something to his calf, but which, you know, they're kind of connected, I think. So, yeah, it's fucking crazy, dude. You don't think it's ever going to happen to a guy on your team?
No.
Like, when Brady tore his ACL.
Dude, and that fucking
I literally dirty tackle, it.
That fucking climbing on the ground, yeah.
Like, I remember I had so much hope.
Yeah, because that was right after their almost undefeated season. So yes. You're like, we're going to go fucking do it. And then
we're going to do it.
It's like, what the fuck? Week one? Like, it's like Aaron Rodgers doing it. But I mean, like, obviously different. But speaking of that fucking guy, Like, is he going to fucking sign with the Steelers? Like, what's fucking going on there?
He'll sign with them as soon as they allow, agree to not have him. As long as they agree to not force him to go to mini camp and shit. Yeah, but I just don't. I just don't see him playing for the Steelers anymore.
I just don't know what the fuck the Steelers are doing.
Well, the Steelers are the Steelers, and they're not going to let some fucking guy come in and take over the whole organization and tell, like, dude, you really think, like, other than the problem Steelers, like the problem child that the fucking Steelers have had, nobody skips OTAs at the Steelers.
Yeah.
Nobody skips minicamp at the Steelers. Nobody skips the workouts. Mike Tomlin doesn't strike me as a guy that's all like, oh, you don't want to come to training camp? All right, fine. I'll tell TJ Watt while he's at training camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. I guarantee you all the best players on the Steelers are going to be at every fucking thing.
Yeah.
And you could argue TJ Watt should be getting paid more money. So, I don't know. I guarantee you that's... like, behind the scenes, that's one thing. Either Aaron Rodgers is trying to wait out camp, which I don't know in what world does he think that he's good enough right now and fit enough to just skip training and conditioning.
Yeah, and just go out there with a brand new team and fucking, all right.
Like 2 years removed from an Achilles in your 40s. Like, I just, like, don't you, shouldn't you be at the most, getting the most reps you can? Like, why don't you just, I wish he would just retire.
I mean, yeah. Because
I'm sick of this shit. Like, I'm so tired of it. Like, it's just like, whenever he was 38 and still an MVP caliber player, you know, it's kind of like, then it was really easy to get sucked into it. Like, oh, he can't retire.
Yeah.
Let me look at how good he is. Now it's like, dude, you could justifiably retire and no one would be like, you still got 3 good years left, didn't you? At this point, I don't know. I watched him play last year and I don't think he looked terrible. The thing is, though, I've never seen him look more pedestrian, and that could be because he was still rehabbing the Achilles injury, which I don't doubt, but it's just like, I don't know, man. He should shut up and stop talking as much as he does, and he should be grateful that a team is interested in him signing with them.
Yeah.
And he should be playing like he has something to prove.
Well, this is way worse.
I think he's got a year left. I think whatever team, if you genuinely want to know what I think is going on, I think he's really, it's like he's outside the Vikings house.
Yeah.
And he's just like, come on. Come on. Like, he's got the boom box. He wants to go to the Vikings. I don't think it's I don't think it's because of that. I just think it's coincidental. I think it's because it's the best situation for a free agent quarterback. You get to throw to Justin Jefferson, the team that won fucking 15 games last year with Sam Darnold. And I guarantee you, I don't care what anybody says, I would still rather have Aaron Rodgers right now than Sam Darnold, just for history's sake. I'm not, and I was a guy that I was saying, hey, give Sam, that's a season by season case. Sam Darnold played really well last year. I watched him play a lot of games, and there was many games where he's starting off every drive 8 of 8, a touchdown, 120 yard. Like, you know what I mean? He played really well, and then it got to the times where it mattered. And guess what? He hasn't been in a lot of those situations.
No.
So it's hard to judge
him. Jets, fucking 4-12.
I just think if you get drafted by the Jets as a quarterback, you might as well just immediately ask for a trade. Because if you try to play for him, I just think... Yeah, I totally would. I wouldn't play for the fucking Jets, dog. I mean, if I had played quarterback, no, I wouldn't go to... It's a cursed place for quarterbacks. Joe Namath cursed them or something. He was like... he sold his soul. He's like, listen, if you just let me win one... Because you could argue they shouldn't have won that fucking Super Bowl. It was the worst game that fucking Colts team had ever played in their lives. So, I don't know. I think they won 10-6 that game or something like that. But, Vinny Testaverde, he did the same thing Aaron Rodgers did. Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. Mark Sanchez, butt fumble. He really only had 2 or 3 solid years. Other than that, he was never anything more than a good backup to have. Zach Wilson never should have been drafted.
Yeah.
The fact that guy gets taken in the top 10, but Shador goes top in the 5th round, that's retarded.
Yeah, that's fucking like,
like,
what?
Dude, that whole thing. I know we haven't talked about that. We might get into that, but like, but the Jet, dude, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith. Geno Smith and Sam Darnold are both drafted by the Jets. They leave and have are like, oh, wow, this is the guy that, that we saw coming out of college. Yeah. Like, I remember watching Geno Smith in college. I was like, this guy's the best quarterback in this draft.
When he played with
West Virginia.
Yeah, but who was on his team?
Tavon Austin.
Yeah. Tavon Austin, dude.
But Geno was a fucking beast. And yeah. I still think he's a really good quarterback. I think him and Ashton Jeanty are going to be a really good duo.
I think Pete Carroll knows what he's doing.
I think it's a hard division. I haven't heard anything about that offensive line, though. Have they done anything to improve the offensive line? The offensive line has been the issue since Derek Carr was there.
I mean, it's agreed, but I think Pete Carroll, he's in a good situation. It's a hard-ass division to play in, though.
I'm telling you right now. Hard-ass division to play in. He hasn't stopped chewing gum since he agreed to be their head coach. He's asleep with it on. He's asleep with it in his mouth. 42 sweep. It's a good play.
It's fucking him and John Gruden. Fucking
dude. I was hoping the Jets were gonna hire John Gruden and dude, him keep Aaron Rodgers. But I'll tell you what, man. This Aaron Rodgers, I think I can get him.
He's got a couple of years. He's a great guy.
He says a lot of wacky things, man. I gotta tell you,
Spider X Y. Every time he fucking like walks and like it's like a video of him getting fucking Utah sent him a fucking fan package and he's like the Utah Utes and he starts just naming off fucking players for him. That guy, what do you think about him? And he like puts on a fucking hat. Like he was doing OU the other day. He was like fucking Adrian Peterson. Oh, that guy will run you over. He's fucking Lane Johnson. Why don't you ask the Eagles if he's pretty good, huh? Why don't you ask them?
When he was telling that story about being a coordinator for the Eagles, and you know, he said that some guy was like, "Hey, Gruden, Gruden," and he said he finally turned around. He's like, "Fuck you, you suck." See, if we had a local NFL team, I might do stuff like that. Like, you don't do stuff like that at college games because these are, you know, college kids. NFL, these are grown-ass men. Who gives a fuck? And also, from where you're yelling, they're not going to hear you unless you're close to that anyway. I don't know. You got to be careful with some of that stuff. I would yell at the coaches like, Andy Reid! Reid! And then I'd like show my belly to him or something.
Cheeseburgers!
And then point at it, like have his face painted on it or something. I don't know. That'd be hilarious. Yeah, I just think with Aaron Rodgers, I wish he would just fucking go away.
Way worse than the Brett Favre thing of retiring and not retiring because he at least said he was done and then he wasn't. And it's Aaron Rodgers is, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to this fucking mystery summer camp in a cave and fucking jerk off for 3 days and see if I come 37 times. And if I do, I'll come back.
Like, I wish he'd just be like, I want to go on vacation. I'm going on vacation.
Why don't you just tell nobody where you're going?
You know what? You could retire and just be on vacation all the time.
Exactly.
Like,
you'd be the fucking host of Jeopardy. Whatever, you know?
Nah. They're not going to let him back on there. They got Ken Jennings now. They got the next Alex Trebek. That dude will be there until he fucking dies.
Oh, I mean, he'd be smart too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this guy. I always talk about Ken Jennings. He's like the Michael Jordan of Brainiacs. I mean, this fucking guy comes out. He's from Utah. He goes on this show, and these are random. These are normal people on this show. He's a normal guy. He got famous because of how good at Jeopardy he was. And he was so good. He won the Masters, the Champions Tournament, the Master, all that shit. And he was so good, they're like, dude, Trebek's dead. We got to get the greatest Jeopardy player ever.
Yeah, I mean, like, what it's better like, duo?
Like, I don't know. It's like when Brian Johnson replaced Bon Scott in AC/DC. It's just, you slide him right in there, and it's like, oh, okay, the hits are still coming.
Yeah.
Ken Jennings is great. He never stumbles on his words. I wonder, though, if sometimes when people don't get it, like, if no one buzzes in, he's like, fucking idiot. I didn't even fucking know that. Or when someone's, like, wrong, how he's not like, ooh, that's stupid. Dumbass. Like, I wonder if he's ever like that. How do you not fucking know that? You guys got on Jeopardy? You know how much money
you guys
I won?
Suck.
You know what? I gotta show you how much money he's won playing Jeopardy.
How many times was he on it?
Dude, he was champion for like months, like for so long. Dude, he won $2.5 million, $20,700. He won 74 games in a week in a row.
Oh my God. That's honestly an
that's how much he earned that because he went in 2004, 74 game winning streak. That's how much he won, $2.5 million. He's the highest paid contestant, and he also he was in the greatest of all time tournament. He won $63,000 in that, and according to Jeopardy, his all time Jeopardy winnings, including tournaments, are estimated to be $4.3 million. Like, yeah, that's the guy. Like, you know, that's the guy. Who the fuck? Like, you have to put him against that fucking computer that they were putting on Jeopardy.
I mean, yeah.
Where I thought that was bullshit because you could hear it trying to buzz in whenever they're asking the question still. And it's like, dude, this is bullshit. How are you supposed to beat this thing? And it's got the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all the answers. Like, what do you mean? Like,
that's bullshit. And then you put Ken Jennings up against it and it's just like,
nah, that's fucking
computer didn't stand a chance. You imagine winning $4.3 million because you're like, no trivia. And pop.
That's insane.
Like, it's insane. And I've watched, like, because they'll have Ken Jennings marathons.
That's crazy.
And you just watch all the episodes where he won. And, like, it's just. Like, I remember one game, I think he scored like four, like, made 40,000 in a game. And no, but, and, like, it was over
74
by the time.
How much often are they filming? Once a week or?
Well, that's five times a week.
So he was there for fucking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's Monday through Friday. So. You know, that's
so for like half a year. He was
how
just,
many
he
weeks
was like,
is that?
Like, I mean, did he have a job before that? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I got to go back. Like, what do you mean? Like, I'm winning. I got to go back.
So what? Let's see what that would be. So that's 74 divided by 5. That's 14 and a half months. So he's champion for over a year. Roughly. I wonder if Alex Trebek got tired of him. He's like, all right, this son of a bitch needs to lose.
Probably became friends. I mean, they know each other so well. You see each other all the time.
I wonder if Ken Jennings, like, did you know Alex Trebek to death? He's like, did you know that fucking blah, 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 blah? And Alex Trebek's like, Ken, I have to tell you, I'm just the host. Like, what? How many games of fucking Jeopardy did Alex Trebek win? I think he was just the host from the beginning. Why did he get
the
host?
Too, yeah. Because they fucking usually like fucking the host isn't playing or never gets in that situation and be like.
I think they should have made Alex Trebek play at least once a week.
Keep him honest.
Just to see. It's like if he never wins, it's like this guy gets to be the guy.
He's never won and he's up here hosting the show. It's.
I'll tell you what, Cam and I, we watch Jeopardy all the time and there's so many different types. But the Celebrity Jeopardy one, no, not Celebrity Jeopardy, the Pop Culture Jeopardy with Colin Jost.
With who?
Colin Jost. He's one of the Weekend Update guys on SNL. Hmm. The white one. The one that's married to Scarlett Johansson. He hosts it and it's really good. They do it like, it's like there's three teams and there's three people on each team. So there's nine people trying to buzz in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And they do three rounds, like Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy, Triple Jeopardy, then Final Jeopardy. So, you know. But then you got a lot of these. I'll tell you what, though. You and I would never get on there. Like me, you, and Cam try to get on there. They'd never let us on there because none of us are gay. And I'm not going to have any personality. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to be. You have to be like. And I would be like, yeah, hey, how you doing? Let's play. Come on. I'm here to win. Like, I would be like that. Like, I would like be like, fuck, if I miss something.
Dude, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stupid. Why'd I fucking...
Like, if we're negative $400 going in. Like, you know, they always do those fucking, like, when they come back from a commercial. It's like, Jared here. Jared, Trevor, and Cameron are from Oklahoma. Jared, you guys are negative 400. How you feeling right now? I'd be like, oh, how you fucking think? Like, what do you think? Let's keep playing. Come on. Who cares?
Feeling real good. They came here to win money, not get
like,
money.
I'm pretty positive for that specific kind of Jeopardy. It's not about how good you do, like, with the questions. It's also you have to be, like, have TV personality. Regular Jeopardy, yeah. They're the lamest, most square people ever.
Dude, I love in regular Jeopardy when they ask, like, sports questions and they're just like, yeah. They don't fucking know anything about them. Like,
or they say something and it's just the...
Beep, beep.
It's so off, like, you know, they're like, well, who's the all-time leading rebounder in the NBA? And someone's like, Babe Ruth.
Kurt Warner? Fucking
Kurt Warner. Tim Tebow? Johnny Manziel? It's just someone that knows football players from their early teens. Johnny Football.
Johnny Football.
It's funny. I think that's
Bart
Cam's,
Starr.
Cam's least favorite
football player ever. Yeah, for sure. Gotta be. Yeah. Yeah,
I think who's your least favorite football player ever?
Least,
and I'm saying they're your least favorite, and it can be for any reason. But if they're a great player, I'm going to dispute it because you got to at least be able to respect great players, even if you don't like them. Well, you know,
I mean,
they rape somebody, I guess.
I do hate
somebody. I don't
hate Aaron Rodgers a lot.
That's a good one.
I mean, he's
respect him as a talent.
Yeah,
I think he's one of the best I've ever seen, but I do not like him. That's a good one.
Before he played for the Bucks, I would say Richard Sherman would have been up there too. Because he just...
Well, once he played for the Niners, I was cool with him.
That's a hard one.
And I mean, he also kind of chilled out a little bit about with all the...
Dak Prescott's up there too.
I don't get that because I don't... He's not a douche or anything. He's just a...
I don't know.
I think it's because... But also, you know what's funny? I really don't hear that many people, like especially Cowboys fans, defending him. That's why I kind of feel bad for him. The guy balls out in the regular season when he's healthy, keeps him in the mix, and then he, you know, can't get it done in the playoffs. But, you know... Is the grass greener on the other... I don't fucking know. I just think... It's hard to say that it's all fucking him in that scenario. I mean, they haven't had a running game for like 3 years. They've had one good wide receiver every single year since fucking what's his name got hurt, Michael Gallup. He had one good year and then he got hurt and he was never the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not all him. I will say, I don't know if he's ever going to win a Super Bowl. Damn sure not with the Cowboys, but I think he's one of those guys that I bet if they announced that they were cutting him right now, that there'd be a line of teams ready to fucking snatch him up. I don't know.
Deshaun Watson up there.
Yeah, dirty bastard.
I mean, and
also in the comeback,
Patrick Mahomes is up there too, just for fucking he's so good, but like you just hate whenever, you know, he's running away from sack and he throws a 30-yard pass, ends up a touchdown.
I listen to him talk in interviews and I'm just like, this is the guy people are saying is the greatest of all time. This is who you want representing us. Fuck him. I don't know. I don't hate him, but I hate people that like him. I don't have anything against Mahomes. I think he's obviously great. And he's not even really like a bad, like, again, he's not a bad guy. He's not a douche. He's not a dick. You know, he does remind me a lot of Steph Curry, where, like, in public, he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a fuck. And then behind closed doors, I can see him throwing chairs and
fuck you.
God, it's so hard to act like the fucking, I don't know. I mean, fuck, Brady was a. The whole time he was in New England, it was hard to get a read on him because he was always like reading from a script and shit. So, you know, it's hard to judge someone for that because I didn't know, like, you know, until he went to Tampa and he was just like, man, we suck.
Yeah. You really didn't, you couldn't see it, but then there, it was just like, nobody else on the team, like, Belichick's like, and not here to do it, so I got to do it to my guys. Like,
well, when you're, almost as old as Belichick at that point when he's still playing. Which
I'll
tell
you
what.
Ryan as a football person, maybe not player, but...
Oh, I don't know. I like Rex Ryan. I hated him when he was with the Jets. I used
Rex
to hate
Grossman.
Him. I love him now. I love Rex Ryan now because at the end of the day, that is he is a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy is a football guy. I would play for him. Like, I don't see how he doesn't have a job. I'm pretty sure it's because he's a little too expensive for being a coordinator.
Yeah.
And he makes plenty of money doing what he does. So he's like, if you're not going to pay me my $10 million a year that yeah. I want, I don't give a shit. I think that's what he said on Get Up one day. He was like, just give me a 2-3 year deal, $10 million a year. I'll be there. I'll be there. But I don't know. I hated Richard Sherman when he was with the Seahawks. I hated him. Beating them was one of the greatest days of my life.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I can't say I hate Eli because he's such a hard guy to hate. It's not his fault he's the dumb Manning, you know. But he's a hard guy to hate, like, you know. Like, you could probably be like, you know, you're not better than Brady. He'd be like,
I don't care.
Yeah, man.
Beat him twice, though.
Exactly. And it's just like,
yeah.
Like, I love the Mannings. I love all of them. Like,
Peyton. Even I used to hate Peyton, but, like, I respect him. And of I course. Like him now, like, way more now.
Oh, dude, I love the Mannings. I think they're great. Whatever. Football is a game.
Jeff Fisher.
Oh, shit. Jeff Fisher. Coaches. Fucking Tom Coughlin. I didn't hate him, but, dude, he gives me nightmares. The Belichick whisperer. That dude knew how to beat us whenever. He almost got us when he was the president of the Jaguars.
Jags,
and he almost got us. So I was like, this fucking guy's coaching, I'm telling you. Like, who was the Jags coach at that time?
I think who was it? I can't think of his fucking name. Because it was before.
It wasn't Doug Peterson.
Yeah, and it was before.
It wasn't Urban Meyer.
Yeah, it was before Urban Meyer. Was it Jack Del Rio?
I gotta know. I don't think so, because I think they sucked every year you had them.
No, Jack Del Rio was like earlier. It would have been somebody else after that.
No, Del Rio coached them in 2003.
Yeah, to like 2011. 11, yeah. He was there for a little bit, yeah. They actually weren't bad in the later years.
Doug Marrone.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely, Tom Coughlin was definitely fucking coaching. That guy fucking obviously wasn't.
He was their first head coach.
Who?
Tom Coughlin was the first Jaguars head coach for 7 years. I don't know. He was definitely feeding Doug Marrone. What is this fucking guy? How does he have a 23-43 record? Well, he's the offensive line coach for the Patriots. Love that guy. Oh, he was an offensive lineman. All right, I don't hate this
Ryan guy. Tannehill. He's up there.
Yeah,
he's up there because he just did. I'm telling you, I know I always bring it up, but whenever he was playing for the fucking Dolphins and he was whining because they were intercepting the fucking ball and said that they needed to stop doing that.
I don't know. I think I can confidently say Antonio Brown was one of my least favorite. I never liked him.
He only played for us for one game, and then he
scored a touchdown.
Fucked Tom Brady over from getting two Super Bowls in Tampa.
Maybe won that year in New England, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just never liked him, though, especially once he went all kooky.
Le'Veon Bell kind of a cocksucker, too.
Yeah, especially considering that he had two good years, and he was like, pay me, motherfucker. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of the players I hate the most, I honestly don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks that I hate. Most of the times I hate quarterbacks in college. And then when they get to the NFL, it's like, all right. I never really hated Baker Mayfield, but I did want him to fail because of OU fans. So, you know, but I also gave him credit where credit was due. I hate Daniel Jones just because I hate that he plays in the NFL.
Daniel Jones is a bad one.
Might be kind of harsh. Sorry.
Mason Rudolph.
You know, it's funny. I actually liked him in college. I thought he was pretty good.
He was a good quarterback.
He was throwing up 400 or 500 yards a game. The dude was a beast. And he was 6'5". I was like, yeah, this guy can play in the NFL.
He's just fucking target practice now. Fucking.
I think most of the players I hate the most are wide receivers. I don't know. They bitch. They bitch so fucking much.
They get really good. Like, they'll have great years, and then as soon as they start fucking chirping. You notice, like,
as soon as you pay them.
Mike Evans, he never talks, never bitches about anything. Just steady Eddie, fucking 10 years of 1,000 fucking yards in a row.
Well, that's why he'll go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know if I could say really ever hated Odell, but I do.
Yeah.
I got tired of hearing about it because I'm just like, yeah, he's really talented, but he contributes nothing to winning. It took him a long time to figure that out.
I mean, I'm sure for a lot of people, Tyreek Hill's probably up there.
I really don't mind him.
I don't either, but I could see a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Like him. I mean, he did hit a woman, so I don't like, I guess, you know. And he's always getting, like, in trouble for domestic shit, so I don't know if I'd say I like him, but I hate Harrison Butker.
Oh, yeah.
The punter for the Chiefs, the whole, you know, like, telling that women's college that, you know. You know, it's great that you graduated, but I hope you don't. I hope you consider not getting a job and being a stay-at-home mom. He talks too much for a punter, and I already don't like punters. So,
besides Pat McAfee, that's it. Yeah,
yeah, the coolest punter ever. I mean, there's not very many of them.
No. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of another coach that I would put up there.
Coaches.
Oh, hang on. That fucking, who was it? The fucking Giants before, what's his name now? Brian something.
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, who was before him?
Joe Judge?
No, it was that fucking, that, I can't remember his fucking name. That fucking bum. It was before him.
It was Tom Coughlin. So it was the guy after Coughlin.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Ben McAdoo.
Oh, yeah.
That motherfucker. That guy, just a fucking janitor-looking bum who got a fucking coaching job. Like, just fucking terrible. The fucking guy from the fucking Chargers before fucking...
Oh, Brandon Staley.
Yeah. He's just fucking.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that's a good one. I think he's where he needs to be now, the OC for the Commanders, and I can never remember his fucking name.
Oh, Steve Spagnuolo?
No, not
Spagnuolo.
Fucking the Commanders, I mean. The offensive coordinator. He was the head coach of the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Fucking,
From Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I wanted him to fail whenever he first went to the Cardinals because I was like, the fuck has this guy ever done to be a head coach in the NFL? He's never even had a winning season at Texas Tech. And he had Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, all these guys. He never did nothing. So, but I do think he's a good offensive coordinator. But,
yeah.
Head coaches. Dude, I don't know, man. I think. I don't. I think a lot of the stuff with Andy Reid is just like, I remember him a certain way, and then the narrative has shifted tremendously, and I hate that people use the whole Belichick didn't do anything without Brady argument,
and
then want to pretend that Andy Reid was like, and they point to the fact that, yeah, Andy Reid without Mahomes has been to the Super Bowl, and he's been to conference championships, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you never got the big one.
You don't get remembered for that stuff.
No.
Like, just like the 4 or 5 years Belichick coached without Brady, you're not going to remember that because it doesn't outweigh the success, and it never will. So the fact that people have to take out 21 years of Belichick's career to make it seem like he was unsuccessful isn't fair. The same way I don't think it's fair to just look at Andy Reid's career after Patrick Mahomes.
He was always known for never being able to win the big one.
He was always the guy that, like, oh, he can never get it done. He's had opportunity after opportunity. And
good veteran quarterbacks, McNabb to then fucking Michael Vick to fucking
Michael Vick, McNabb. He had Alex Smith with the Chiefs. He didn't do nothing with the Chiefs until Mahomes got drafted there. So, and I think Andy Reid's a genius. He's an offensive mastermind, and I don't hate him because he's a good dude. But like, I do hate how people were like, if they would have won this Super Bowl, is he the greatest ever?
Yeah.
Has he already passed Belichick? It's like, dude, he didn't even accomplish more as a coordinator than Belichick did. So, I don't know. And Belichick, listen, and we'll end on this. If I have any advice for you, Mr. Belichick, and I don't know if you can even hear this.
Tell your girlfriend to fuck off.
I would actually tell her to hit the road is what I would do. You need to get her out of your life and get ready for this season because you are literally... You are doing the opposite of the Patriot way right now.
Yeah, you're fucking, you're running a university. It's like you're turning into a college kid. Like,
dude, how about this, Belichick? Let me just put this into perspective for you. You imagine a 24-year-old blowing a 70-year-old. don't make it you, just a 70-year-old. Just imagine Joe Biden getting blown.
Well, how about, that's fine, but you don't have to keep the, you know, just they're rotating as they want to come in, they can.
How about you just do that? Bang a bunch of
you don't need a relationship.
Bang some of the upper graduates at the college. How about that? Do that. The 25-year-olds that are still there for some reason, just bang them. You don't have to have a 24-year-old girlfriend that's doing press release with you.
Yeah.
And why are you doing that anyway? And you wrote a book? Why are you writing a fucking book?
He's going through a midlife crisis.
Midlife. I mean, he's going to live another 70 years.
Yeah, he's going to fucking...
He's in a I'm going to die soon crisis, I think. He's like, I got to get my dick sucked by a 24-year-old girl.
What if he comes out and he's better, like, as a coach? Like, just fucking going crazy. Just fucking woo! Fucking, he's making the fans flash their tits over here, fucking...
North Carolina is the new party university. Belichick's doing keg stands at frat parties and shit. Yeah, dude. Belichick's going to run through the sororities like a fucking venereal disease.
It's fucking... God, it's May, but like, you know, it's only... You know, it's the thing that sucks is like right now I really want football to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, it's summertime, so like football could just happen in the summer. That'd be great.
Oh, well, I'm telling you right now, once hockey and basketball's over, it's over.
Oh, I know. We're
in purgatory. It's sports purgatory.
Yep.
There's no sports. There's summer league basketball. Once summer league basketball starts, that's when you know it. You are in, and unless you watch baseball and you're a loser, I don't fucking know. Like if you watch baseball in the summer, that's because there's nothing else on. Like there's baseball isn't
you're
even that
watching,
interesting.
Yeah,
in
you're
summer.
At the end of the night. You're like, oh, the fucking Red Sox are playing the Yankees.
And then
you
fall
asleep
in the third
inning. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you wake up in the seventh. You're like, oh, it's a good game.
Like, I just feel like it's just so hard to keep up with because it's like, oh, it's all right. We're going to play him another six times. So
it's just an old man thing. It's like I'd love to be like 70 and go to every fucking Cardinal home game. You know,
I found I enjoy watching golf more now.
Yeah.
Golf is actually.
It's also another good one, too. You can fucking get in the middle of that when you take a little nap. You wake up. They're at hole 13.
It's true.
Final stretch.
It's true. I've been plotting against Cam. I'm going to get her to go golfing with me and get her into it so I can start planning vacations at golf resorts all over the country. But anyway, I am absolutely starving, so we're going to go ahead and call it a night. Trevor, thanks for coming out. Guys, again, sorry for the inconsistency. We've been just crazy busy. I mean, shit, Trevor's got a... He's like the guy, the old lady in the shoe. He's got kids everywhere. So, you know, he's been busy, you know. Cam and I are planning a wedding, and we've been fucking gone every other weekend. So, but we're going to really try. Trevor's got a thing set up at his house, so at least try to get an episode out a week. Or even if it's over the phone. But yeah, thanks to everyone that's been waiting.
I hope we still have fans out there.
Yeah, if you're still listening, we appreciate it. But
and we'll still have you on the fucking podcast just because we haven't said nobody's been coming on the podcast. You know, we decided we were going to withdraw the offer, but now we're putting it back out there. So if you want to be on the podcast and not be a pussy, then do it.
Yep, and we got some new equipment that we're going to try to get installed so we, you know, we can elevate the sound a little bit more and the quality. But but yeah, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll check in with you next week. Keep it real.
Good night.